Bible, please, to the Gospel of John and chapter 8. And I mentioned this morning I had a little bit of work done trying to be my youth brought back. Well, not really. But it was so covered, everything was, with blood and everything. They thought I shouldn't come out and scare everybody. So, but there's hardly anything left. So, and next thing now, we got to go from scary to athletes, to be the athlete. Remember they put stuff under their eyes to whatever? Well, I moved it up to see if I could, what can I tell you? Appreciate your grace and patience. Now, in the Gospel of John, you would recall, John is the last living apostle. You would recall John writes the Gospel of John and Revelation, the last thing, God says no more till he comes. God, John, is chosen, and his assignment is to give us the conclusion and where it's going to go after time into eternity. And John's wonderful assignment is to help us understand from Genesis, Israel, the Old Testament, the New Testament, to help us understand all of history so that God, what have you been saying? What have you been doing? I have sought to make myself known since I died and will die, he would have died, for all humanity. I paid the price. I offer them the good news that each man, woman, boy, or girl from Adam and Eve could know me as their Lord and Savior. When we come along to the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman comes from the tribe of Judah, Israel, born in Bethlehem of Judea. He comes to the Jews. If anyone, any nation, anywhere in all of history is ready to understand God, they should be. And he came out from among the Jews, and the Jews were to be a light to the world. They were not a light. Their lamp was not lit. And in the darkness, they crucified our Lord. We have no king but Caesar, and we crucified him. Now God, and here's the Jewish people, nation as it were, reacting negatively to God's wonderful grace in the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So now what are we going to do, God, among other things? The Gospel of John is to make known the wonderful person of God. So in all 21 chapters, when you read them, and the word believe over and over 99 times, to help you what? To get to know the person who needs to be understood in all of history. God, the only God. John's assignment. What else? In that assignment, the Jewish people, as a nation, had crucified him. So now, God, you've got to help us understand, as we're in history down the road here, and here we are in your presence, so you've got to help us understand this business of when you were there, they crucified you, and they rejected you. God, who did they reject? They rejected you, God. So God, you want to make it very, very clear to us, humans on planet Earth, you want to make it clear to us that you, that the Jewish people were not in the right place. They loved darkness rather than light. And they weren't in the place at all to honor you. They should have honored you and pointed to you as the living and only God. They did not do that. So God, Are you going to help us? I am. So here's the 21 chapters, in particular here, chapter 8, magnificent chapter, about God. God's rightful claim to be who he is, and the Jewish failure to understand who he is. They just didn't want to know. It wasn't a question they didn't know. They didn't want to know. They didn't want to understand. So in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, as we've been doing it, that has been unfolded like lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt. And now, and then it's going to come in next time if the Lord tarries. Boom, the shaking of the earth. Wow. God claimed everything they brought up. He claimed. He took his claims and he built an ever-increasing, intense understanding. So that here are the Jewish Pharisees, leaders, and they are turning negatively away from him. And they're struggling with everything under the sun to refuse and reject the light. He is the light of the world. John 8. And as you know, in verse 12, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. They didn't want to know the light. How could they see in the dark? They needed light. The Lord Jesus Christ, humanly becoming flesh, was able to show us we could see light. And in seeing light, we could get to life. Now, in there, as we've been looking at it, chapter 8, and in their godless way, they acknowledge God in a godless way. In their godless way, they acknowledged and honored God in a godless way. And that's not right. That has to be corrected. That's what they did. And then God could not find, as we shared last time, God could not find in their heart anything to respond to. They needed to have a response, something to respond to, something. When you're thirsty, you would respond to the water. When you're hungry, you respond to the food. When you hurt, you respond to a solution. You hurt, you respond. God said, as we shared all of that last time, God said, listen, I made it clear, Romans 1, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25. Romans 1, I, God, you make yourself known to every boy and girl, man or woman, ever born on planet Earth. Right now, there's over 7 billion of us. And every one of them had a spot in their life that they knew you. You said so, and you didn't trust on anyone, anywhere to do it. You did it all by your lonesome. You made yourself known to the human heart. That's what you did. Now, so they are, Romans 1, without excuse. You made yourself known. And in the process, so when we kick God in our mind and heart out. Then God is trying to communicate, but there's nothing left in our heart of God. We've rejected him. So there's nothing God can find in the human heart to respond to. He has to find something to respond to. The bird sang, and you're a bird lover or whatever, and you are responding to it. God, it has to be something inside of you. If you aren't interested in mathematics, then there's nothing to respond to when mathematics is taught. You have to have something in you to like it. There has to be something to connect to in your heart. In knowledge, that's what learning is. Learning is taking something in a person's mind or heart that is there. If it isn't there, you can't teach them. It has to be found in their heart. Something to work with. And God put himself there to work with him, And the Spirit of God's ministry is to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And therefore, there has to be a response. But in these people, their heart, their spiritual ear, was very deaf. Their eye was blind. Their heart was dull. They couldn't hear, couldn't understand. They recognized, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And they just couldn't get together in their little mind and heart that God was really who he was and was doing what he was doing. And it was too hard for them. Therefore, if you would, John chapter 8 and in verse 49, Jesus answered, I have not a devil, a demon, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. You dishonor me. Remember, they had just said he was a Samaritan, wasn't a pure Jew, and he had a devil, a demon. And now he quotes, the Lord said, I don't have a demon. The reason you're trying to have some explanation, a mad, crazy, a demon, something has to be making that guy, God, the Lord, say all these things. I am the light of the world, etc., etc. What makes him say that? Must be a demon. Now, and verse 50. And I seek not my own glory, but one that's but there is one that seeketh and judges. So I'm looking, I'm not looking for my own glory. I have a unique, wonderful relationship to God as perfect man. And I am going to show forth God's awesome, wonderful person and all the benefits that come from it, so that a people can know God, they can see God in the flesh and blood, in his perfect humanity, and they can understand God. So how do we understand, as we said 1,000 times, God is infinite and invisible. Infinite means that everything in 200 observable galaxies, 200,000 observable galaxies, and beyond that, that is in the middle of God. There is nothing outside of God. Do you understand? How do we handle it? God! Well, unless he helps us, all we can get is his activity. He created us in his own image and likeness. He did all of these wonderful things for us. But God, you have to make yourself known. And he did. He did. Born in Bethlehem of Judea. So that God incarnate, so that we could come to grips with you, God. You didn't come as a camel. You didn't come as, because none of those things are made in your image. We are made in your image and likeness. You came as a person so that we persons could understand your person in a very personal way. Now, so having said that, and remembering now, they were to believe, and they didn't. Verse 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? They needed to believe. They didn't believe. John 8, verse 51. Verily, verily, most assuredly, arresting our attention, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. If a man keep, and he may or may not, if he will honor my word, my sayings, my word, he shall never, never, it's a double negative in the Greek, absolutely in no wise, can never, 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 never happen, he shall never experience death, never do it. And the end of life, the absence of life. He'll never have death. He'll go from life to life, endless life, eternal life. Wow. And just to see that again very quickly, over to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6 again, I'm just going back to pick it up and come forward. John 6 and verse 35, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never, there's your little word again, absolutely in no wise, never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never, there's your word again, never thirst. Verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die, no. Verse 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So God, you're going to die on the cross for all of our sin. And God, here we are looking. So God, wonderfully God, we are able to, and one other place while I think of it, over to John chapter 11. And in John chapter 11, just that which you're familiar with. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, spiritually dead, separated from God, yet shall he live. And whoever you are that believes, whosoever liveth and believeth in me, shall never, there's your word, positively not die. Do you believe this? That's the whole issue. God, do you want us, to believe that you say what you mean and you mean what you say? God, you want us to understand that a unique relationship to you means life, eternal life. You'll never, never taste death. That doesn't mean you won't die physically. Doesn't mean that. It means you will never die in your relationship as a person living inside the body. Your relationship to God is unbreakable, and thus it can never be broken. Nothing can ever disrupt your unbelief, your carnality, indifference. You cannot enjoy the relationship, never develop the relationship, be like a little boy, a girl that grew up and never got any understanding about anything. You become 20 years old and you still don't know anything. God, you meant us to grow up, to become children, to understand and know who you are in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, in the light of that, and Abraham, as remember the Jews are saying in the great arguments they were using, and in chapter, John chapter 8, if I can, over in verse 37. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. They claimed, remember, in verse 33, they claimed they were Abraham's seed. Are they legitimate physical Jews? Absolutely. They were right. Verse 39, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But you are not Abraham's children. You do not believe. You do not believe. Abraham is the father of faith, as it were. To believe, what do you need to do? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So in verse 52, then said the Jews unto him, now we know that thou hast a demon or a devil. The devil, because he said, you'll never die. Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead. He's dead. And the prophets, and thou sayest, if any man keep my saying, my word, he shall never taste of death, never experience death. So they understood what he said. But they didn't want to know what he said. They didn't want to honor what he said. And they looked at it strictly from a physical standpoint, a sensual surface standpoint. He said, everyone dies. Abraham died, and the prophets died. The prophets died. And they all died. So now, God, you're trying to say that if people take your word, that they would never die. But everyone dies. It's illogical. It's impossible. And that was their talk among themselves as they're all standing there in the temple area. Now, and so then, verse 53. And now we know that thou hast a devil. And in verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham? Now, father Abraham, as a physically, he was their father. They weren't believing, they were not his children, but they were Jews. Therefore, verse 53, art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead, They're both dead. Everyone's dead. By the way, Matthew 22, we killed them. We killed the prophets. They're all dead. They're all dead. Who are you to tell us no one's ever going to die? Everyone dies. Who are you to say such things? And they just didn't understand. And if thou sayest, and in verse 53, and the prophets that did, whom makest thou thyself? Whom are you making yourself? Who do you think you are making yourself? Who you are, what you are, who are you to do so? And remember now, forever and ever and ever, you're never going to die. Life, life to life to life to life, always life. And Lord, are you greater than our Father? And of course the answer is, in verse 53, who makest thou thyself? Are you greater than Abraham? That's what we want to know. And the structure in the language, Greek language, is such that the answer expected is a negative answer. Therefore, you are not greater than our Father who died, are you? And you are not. You are not. Answer's negative. You are not greater than our Father who died. No one's greater. No one. And you aren't one of them. You are not one of them. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And thus, who makest thou thyself? And the structure is such. You yourself are making yourself something. How can you make yourself something that you are not? It's impossible for you to be who you are. Hang on to that. It's impossible for you to be who you are. Over to chapter 5. And remember, in chapter 5, if I can, in verse 18. 5 and 18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And they couldn't handle that. And they were looking to get him for blasphemy. Over to chapter 10. Chapter 10. And in verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God, who on earth do you think you are? You understand the intensity of all this, back and forth, back and forth. Wow. And the heaviness of it and the awesomeness of the whole occasion. Wow. Who do you think you are? That thou mayest, who are you making yourself? You are saying and making yourself, and the Lord Jesus said, I am not making myself anything. I don't make myself anything. You're saying, I make myself. I myself make myself. And you know that that's not the way to go and make yourself anything. And I am not making myself anything. Therefore, Jesus answered, verse 54, 8 and 54. Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. My honor is nothing, absolutely zero. There is no honor. There is no glory. There is none whatsoever. It's easy to get glory. You know, you want to have glory, you want to have honor, and you want to do it. It's easy. It's easy to bask in the sunshine of your own thinking, isn't it? It's easy to live in the sunshine of your own thinking, of who you are, what you like, your opinions, your thoughts, and you live in them. And we bask in them. You can make yourself and give yourself honor. You can do it about anything. And it's true, there's all these billions of people that are more than us, but we can think we're somebody, which is pride. And we think we're somebody and we bask in our own honors, and the world is busy handing them out, attracting and giving us the honor and the glory of the world, with prizes, trophies, rewards, position, power, money. It can give all of these things. But when it's all done, what do we get? We got it all. And so here we are. I think of all the different champions in the Olympics and all kinds of ways. And you know what? They're all dead. All they got is a bunch of trophies and a book and a record book. Now, what have you got left? You wanted honor? You wanted honor. You got honor. That was wonderful. Now, what did the honor do? Where did the honor leave you? The honor leaves you in dust. What's the difference between you, who were the great person, and the other persons who were never anybody? When we pick up dust in the dirt, we put it in both hands, we can't tell the difference between the king and the pauper. How do you tell the difference as you look at the dirt in your hands? You can't tell the difference. They're all the same. We wanted honor. I don't want any honor, the Lord said. I'm not making myself in and by myself at all. My Father is doing that in a most wonderful way. Jesus answered, if I honor, and I may or may not, for a third class, I may not honor myself, but my honor, if I do it, is nothing. Nothing at all. So God, they wanted honor. They were looking for it. John chapter 8 and in verse 54. John 8 and verse 54. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets which are dead? Thou makest whom makest thou thyself? Who do you think you are? Verse 54. Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, in whom you say that he is your God. He is your God. You're telling me, you're saying he's your God. But he isn't. He is your God, but you aren't honoring him as your God. You don't know him as your God. You don't know him at all. So therefore, you're saying something that is not true. And therefore, God, here we are looking. And the Father, the God, my Father, I honor my Father. My Father honors me. And therefore, I am able to say, I claim to be whom God has made me, all that God has made me. You claim God, but you can't claim God. Verse 41. You do the deeds of your Father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Now we have one Father, God. Now God, but you don't know God. You don't even understand God at all. Verse 55. Yet you have not known him. But I know him. You don't know him at all. You don't know him at all. Remember now, going back over, if you would, John chapter 1 for a moment. John chapter 1. And in John chapter 1, remember the Lord Jesus in his perfect humanity is representing God in a most perfect way. And he's helping the leaders, the Jews, the Pharisees, who understand how to approach God. They approached God in the wrong way. They did not know God as their Savior. John chapter 1 and verse 10. He was in the world, and the world knew him, was made by him, and the world knew him not. Did the world know him? Nope, it didn't know him. They didn't. Pilate said, who are you? What is truth anyway? And to the Jewish people, that's the whole point of John, picking on the Jews. Why? Because the Jews need to be understood that they willfully, blindly rejected him, and he is who he is, and don't be looking at the unbelief of a Jew to understand God. The unbelief of a Jew will not help you understand the only God who they say is the only God, and they worship him. They don't know him. You need to look to my word and to my person. John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own Jewish people received him not. They did not receive him. over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John 16 and in verse 3. These things will they do unto you because they have not, N-O-T, known the Father nor me. They don't know. Over to chapter 17, right next door. Chapter 17 again, verse 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. So God, they didn't know. They claimed to know, but they didn't know. Over again in verse 55. In verse 55. Yet you have not known him. You don't know him. You don't know him. You don't have a relationship to him. The knower is to be knowing that which is known. Do you have a relationship to God? No. Do you personally know God? How's that for a question? Nothing wrong with that. You know the person. You know this person, that person. Person you work for. Person next door. The person down the street. Family member. I know that person. Do you know God like that? As clearly and as simply, I know God. Just like I know my wife. And more so. I know. Do you know God like that? That's personal. Have a personal relationship to God. They didn't have that. They didn't have it. They weren't saved. And being in the place, they were in the dark. And they couldn't, nothing, there was no light to shed in their life. Therefore, verse 55, yet you have not known him, but I know him, and if I should say, I know him, and yet, have not known him, and if I should say, in verse 55, I know him not, N-O-T, I don't know him, I know him not, I shall make me a liar like unto you. You are going to be a liar. I'm going to make myself a liar like you guys are. You lie about your relationship. You don't know God. And you're telling me I don't know God. I'm telling you I do know God. And you do not know God. And therefore, you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, verse 55, I shall make him a liar like unto you. I'm going to be like you guys. I'm going to think like you guys. You guys are doing that. You don't know him. You don't know God. And going way back, if you like, well, you don't have to. If you went back to Hosea and that, chapter 4, verse 1. What did among the prophets, what were the prophets saying to the Jews? The 10 tribes in the north and the 2 in the south. You don't know God. You have, chapter 4, verse 1. You have no knowledge of God. You don't know God. God is knowable and understandable, but you don't know him. You don't know him. You have no knowledge of God. No whatsoever. And if I go along, like, and if I say like you talk, if I think like you do, I'm going to be a liar like you are. I'm going to lie that I have a relationship, and I'm going to say I don't have a relationship. That's a lie. Hang on to that. I tell the truth. You want me to lie like you do, to think like you do. Remember verse 44. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie of falsehood, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar of falsehood, and the father of it. He's the liar. He's the father of all of this. And you guys are tied up with his thinking. You want to murder me. You want to kill me. You're going to lie about me. You're making everything that isn't... You're saying, I have a demon. I'm mad. I have a Samaritan. I'm crazy. You lie. You lie and do not the truth. You're lying. God, do I need to know that? Absolutely I do. I need to understand what people are saying. People say that today, all kinds of things they say about God. God is, God isn't, God this, God, God's this big, God's this big, God is not, God is, He isn't, who knows? No, God, you are a wonderful person. And the only way I can enjoy your wonderful person is through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I need to know you as my Lord and Savior, without any question. So God, so in the process, I'm not going to be a liar like you guys are. I'm not going to lie. You want me to lie. And though Christ, you have a unique, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a very unique relationship to God. More than anyone, anywhere, anyhow. Unique. Verse 55. I know him not. I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him. I know him. I have an intimate. The knower is knowing. The knower is knowing what is known. The word to know. The knower is knowing what is known. There's a unique relationship I have to God. Well, what do you mean a unique relationship to God? I want you to know. I want you to, go back over with me, back to Genesis 1, not far away. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I'm going to let it read it instead of saying it. John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God, verse 1, 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is you. I am. And, verse 18, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom, the heart, the inwards of the Father, He hath declared Him, He has made Him known. If you want to understand God, know the Son. Know the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Know that, understand that. And they were to understand, I know, I have a unique relationship to God. How come? I am God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. We are one, three and one. No one has a relationship to God like I do. I am God. So you're sitting there challenging who I am and what I say. You don't know him. I know him. Wow. Now, not only that, dear friends, but, verse 55, not only does he have a unique knowledge of God, guard with your eyes, fix, preserve, observe, watch over, keep his saying, his word. I keep his word. Remember what he said in verse 51, if any man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Now back down to verse 55, I keep his saying. I am going to go, I continually, present tense, I am continually keeping, honoring, watching over, uniquely watching over, having the oversight of God's word, honoring, upholding the outworking of God's word, all that the Father says that I do, all the Father wishes I fulfill. God, my perfect humanity, fulfills His perfect deity in a most perfect way. And therefore, I want you to know, I keep His word perfectly. Perfectly. I perfectly honor His word. I honor His person. I honor His word. It's my word and my person. And I am who I am. Okay. Now, in the light of that, I am who I am business, and he is. So the Jews thought that they were who they were not. The Jews thought who they were, and they were not who they thought they were. They didn't know. They didn't care. It didn't matter. They were Abraham's children? No. Jews? Yes. Children? No. You were not children. They were not knowing. They were not knowing at all. And hold your finger here a minute, and go over with me to Titus for a moment. A statement is made that's very helpful all the time. Titus, if I can. And picking up, please, in verse 16. Titus 1:16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable. In other words, what are the Jews doing? They're trying to kill our Lord. They don't believe our Lord, and they're trying to kill him because he says the truth that they aren't going to believe. They profess, verse 16, that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So now, God, back over, they profess that they know, but they don't know. And they're liars. And by the way, that's a direct statement. Remember, you are of your father the devil. And now here's the conversation going back and forth. And now he said, rather directly, you are liars. How do you get around that one? You are liars, you see. Now, hang on to that. So the Jews were saying that. They needed light, and they would get it. And in the days ahead, they will get it. That's for sure. Now, and the Lord knew who he was. No question the Lord knew who he was. Wasn't even a question. I know who I am. I don't have to defend who I am. I am what I am. I am that. And, so we got that part. And, therefore, God, where do we fit in? Here we are, God. We ought to be knowing. We ought to have the knowledge. And that all humans are humans. Understand, we all are able to say we're human. And let's see, with a new age coming up, with a new group, probably if you can say you're an it, I would think you would be able to say that you've always loved dogs and that you could now say, I'm a dog. I mean, everything else is going to go. Why can't I say I'm a dog? Can't I say that? I'm going to get a job and I go to Pratt & Whitney or something and say, what's your name? I'm a dog. And Pratt & Whitney would be so excited to hire me. I mean, they'd be all taking me right in to think I'm a dog. I'm not exaggerating. I'm just going a bit further. I can say whatever I want, whatever gender I want, whatever I want. And you know it's coming, polygamy, okay. The abuse of children is going to be okay. They're all going to go. Bestiality, all going to go. All you're going to do is watch the snowball going down the hill. And once it's gone down this far, I don't know how it's going to stop. But we are humans, and we know we're humans. We're created by God and for God, no question. And the Lord Jesus Christ was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we were to receive him, John 1:12, as our personal Savior, and we were to do so. And when we receive him as our personal Savior, John 1:12, that we would become the children of God. Now, having said that, and we're going to go and keep his word. We're going to keep his word. Lord, did you keep your word? I have your person and your word. I have both. I have you and your word, Bible. I have it both. Here I am, God. Now, where do I fit in? 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, picking up if I can, in verse 13, these things, I'm going to give you a little background, quick as I can, background. Chapter 5, verse 11. This is the record, the testimony that God hath given to us, eternal life. Where is this life? In his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. He that hath the Son hath life, And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written down, and we're reading them. Keep my sayings. These things have I written down unto you that believe on the Lord, name of the Lord, of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, keep be, you know and you continue to know, that you have, you are having eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may have this wonderful knowingness of believing. Now, and this, we're going to believe, and we're going to know. Over in verse 19. And we know, there's a little word, know, perfect. We are knowing that we are of God. We belong. We're out. Where do we come from? God. He's the source out of. He's the source. And we know that we are out of God. God is the source. And the whole world lieth in the wickedness of the wicked one, the devil. Verse 20. And we know, there's our word, that the Son of God is come and hath given to us an understanding that in order that what? We may what? Know. know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now how clear can you get it? He said, I am who I am. I give you my word. I wrote it down. Pay attention, receive me, pay attention because I said it, and therefore you're going to know. So I'm able to say, are you able to say? We're able to say, I am a child of God. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I have eternal life and I shall never perish. All true. Who are you? Who do you think you are to say that? I am a believer that has received the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I'm free to say, well, who do you think you are? God is in you? You bet your boots. When I received him as my Savior, you bet. I didn't receive a man. I received God in my heart. God made it possible for me to have a unique personal relationship to him that he intended from the very beginning. And I can have that relationship. Now, so God, I need to exercise it. I am who I am. You are who you are. Who do you think you are? Church member, Baptist, lawyer, Methodist, Congregational, Catholic, what difference? The minute you start saying, I'm a child of God, I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, but I am, God lives in my heart. That isn't talking church, that isn't talking, no. Whole different ball game, and you got a whole different response from the people around you, don't you? They don't mind you going to church. They don't mind you doing anything. The minute you say you have such a personal relationship to God, they got a problem with that. You bet they do. You bet they do. No wonder, God. These are written. And we know who we are. We ought to know who we are. We ought to know so, say so, show so. We ought to know so. Know so believers. Not a hope so believer, or maybe I'm a believer, or I hope it'll all come out all right. Forget that. It all has to come out all right. Wow. In closing, over if you would please. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. Picking up Paul on his ready to, Nero's about to take his head, as it were, to kill him, Nero, and in the process, he writes 2 Timothy, his swan song, his last word. And now, what are you going to tell us, Paul? What are you going to tell us? They're over there, going to like the ISIS to behead the people. Paul, Nero's going to take your head. Now, what have you got to say to us? Verse 1:12, 2 Timothy. For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know, there's your word, I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded, absolutely persuaded, and I remain persuaded, that he, who he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He's quite able to keep me. I'm trusting him as my Lord and Savior, and I shall never see death, which is true. I have eternal life, and I'm going to go absent from the body, present with the Lord, and I'm going to go. That's where I'm headed. I'm headed to where he is, in my Father's house of many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there. That's where I'm going. Now, and I'm persuaded. I know it. I'm a no-so believer. Renounce him. Think of tonight at 6 o'clock. Renounce him. Caesar says, honor me as Lord. Honor me as Lord. And they would not honor him as Lord. There's only one Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Honor him as God. Caesar is not God. God is God. The only God and the only Savior. I know so. I am a know so. Who do you think you are to say that? I am a believer, saved by the grace of God. How about yourself? Our Father in God, we look to you and deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you for your grace and kindness. God, thank you very much. Thank you. Spirit of God, honor your word. Honor the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for wanting every man, woman, boy, or girl to truly, truly know, experience, and enjoy the saving grace, the eternal life of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you very much. God, may we be willing, receptive vehicles to make such happen. You make it happen, and we have to be willing to let you make happen, God, that we might be born again, that we might have spiritual life, that we might never die. God, only you can make such things happen. Impossible to us, quite normal to you. And our God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And perhaps we could sing, please.